Scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 27. And when the hour came, he sat at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly and desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, This is my body. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it was that would do this. A dispute also arose among them, which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For which is the greater, one who sits at table or one who serves? It is not the one who sits at the table, but I am among you as one who serves.
Thank you, Brad. Beautiful. Well, again, good morning, everyone. So good to see you. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas time, and we're in the season of Christmas now. I grew up in a Baptist context, so we didn't know anything about those 12 days of Christmas except the song. So it's been kind of enlightening to realize Christmas has only begun. And it's a message that I think that we can embrace in so many ways. What we're going to talk about today in our time together is just what Brad read. This morning, one of my sisters in ministry, Peg Nowling, is filling a pulpit at another church, and she saw this little poem and she posted it, and I wanted to share it with you. It's called The Work of Christmas by a man named Howard Thurman. It says, When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home and the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, and to make music in the heart. Now, what struck me about this lovely little poem is that the author was saying something I want to talk to you about today. He's saying, in a nutshell, go out and serve. Or let the message of Christmas inspire you further to serve, to release, to build, to heal, to feed, to find. That's service, isn't it? Well, at Fresh Air this Advent season, I took a little liberties, as I do from time to time with things, and I decided to rename our Advent candles. Before I tell you why I did it and what I did, what is the name? How do you name your Advent candles? Anybody tell me? It's a quiz. It's a pop quiz. Anybody know? What do you call your candles?
Hope, light, peace, joy, love.
Hope, light, peace, joy, love. And you can find, thank you, you get to, you know, go to the front of the class if you had all those answers. So those are all great, and they do certainly describe Christmas. But I was trying to find a way to better speak about Fresh Air and how we see ourselves as this beyond denominational congregation, what our place is in the world, how we walk in the world. So this year, I renamed the candles for Advent, and I renamed them these things. And to me, it's just kind of who we are. The first candle I renamed Welcome and Inclusion, because that's who we are. It's who you are, too, completely inclusive of whoever would come. The second candle I decided to name Mystery, because what we're talking about this time of year and beyond in our world of faith is that we're celebrating mystery, things we can't always know and see and touch and feel, but we know them in the spiritual sense. The other candle I named the candle of service. And finally, we kept hope because of it all.
This life we live is a life of hope. So today I wanted to look at the word of service because I think it's powerful. I thought it would be nice to gather around the manger of our imaginations and sort of ponder the miracle of the mystery of God with us, what that means when we say it, and what it means when we seek to serve in that good name. So Jesus said a lot of things, or at least Jesus is credited with saying a lot of things about himself, making statements. And there's a whole series of I am statements in the New Testament, and you know lots of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. I'm the good shepherd. All those I am statements can be found in the Gospel of John. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating gospel set apart from the others. It's unique about the personality that it has in the world of the Gospels. However, there's an I am statement that we are going to talk about today that is not in the Gospel of John. In fact, it is in the scripture that Brad read in Luke chapter 22, which, by the way, if you go back and look at Luke chapter 22, it's really long. It has 71 verses. And packed in those 71 verses are incredible stories that set the stage for, of course, the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus. So I hope you'll go back this week and make that your devotional, is to read those stories and see how they connect all through Luke 22, because it's really interesting. So what I want you to do now is to kind of imagine, let's set the scene for what we're going to talk about today. Jesus is at the Passover meal, which he would be, he's a Jew, so he's going to be doing that with his disciples. It's a festive meal, and this is the one that we now call the moment of creation for Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, the cup, the broken bread, all of that. Jesus is seated at the table, and he's seated at the table with the very one who has already sold him out, and he tells the disciples, he knows that someone who's betrayed him, and they're there at the table, the hand is on the table. And this is so interesting to me. It sets the disciples wondering who among them would do such a thing. Who would betray Jesus? Who could it be? But interestingly enough, that conversation, those musings completely spin on their head, and the disciples turn to asking another kind of question. Their conversation is not about who among us has done this terrible thing. It's who among us is the best? Who's the greatest? It's gone from being the bad guy to the best guy. Isn't that strange? It's kind of crazy, but there it is. And as they're having this conversation, don't you wonder what Judas would have said? If they're vying for greatness, what would Judas have said? Maybe that'll be in the lost scriptures that we'll recover someday from another cave in Qumran. But it makes you think, what is it that's happening at this table in this poignant and important moment, and this I am statement that is in here? So I want to go back and read a little bit of Luke 22. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." That word in Greek means literally good works doers. Benefactors, good works doers. "But you're not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." There it is. That's it. It's not nearly as poetic as "I'm the true vine" or "I'm the way, the truth, and life," but it packs a wallop. Do you know, Jesus is saying, do you guys get it why I'm here? Well, I'm not here to lord it over you or demand that you live by this specific set of rules that I'm laying down from on high. I am here to serve you and all of creation. I'm here to get up from this table and meet the needs of others. I am among you as one who serves. You are talking about greatness, which you translate as power. I'm talking about service, which translates to power, the power to heal and the power to help. That's why I'm here, Jesus is saying, and that's why you are here too. And I was thinking about all of us and what our call is, what it is upon our lives. And I think service is the leading call upon the life of a follower of Jesus. That's why you serve this meal so faithfully every Sunday for years, to serve the underserved. That's why you have mission work and why you visit the sick and why you pray and why you help each other when you're down. This is the service of the church. But I think there's so much more we can do. It's really easy to get comfortable going, well, I served that meal at St. Lucas, so I'm kind of off the hook. You know, I scrambled those eggs. I made those biscuits. I even talked to a homeless person. But I think there's so much more that we can do that is transformative. And not just transformative, but really, truly helpful. I needed to be reminded of Jesus' words in this holiday season, and I hope you needed it too, among all the bright season of bells and buying and busyness. We are called to live in the present, to actually be present, present and alert to the many ways that we can help others find fulfillment, comfort, resources, hope, healing, and friendship. Something so simple but rich as a friend. We can be good works doers too. In Luke, Jesus was setting his disciples straight. He's trying to help them understand. He knows his time is short. He's trying to set them straight to say that greatness doesn't look like what you think it looks like. Greatness is not Rome. Greatness is not the hierarchy of the priesthood and the temple and the service. Greatness looks exactly like a servant. And you know, in Jesus' context, in Jesus' day, a servant who waited on a table didn't get to choose who he served. Maybe he served people he respected. Maybe he served enemies, strangers. But the servant didn't get to choose. And of all the images, all the adjectives, of all the self-descriptions, Jesus could have chosen Son of God, Lamb of God, Prince of Peace. He chose the image of a humble servant at a table of people you may not want to serve. So I ask you, and I ask this of myself in this new season, this new decade, this new day, what does your table of service look like? What does mine look like? Who are you willing to serve, and what do you serve at your table? Do you serve with joy, expecting nothing in return, but hoping for positive results? Are you willing not only to serve those at the table, but create a table that's big enough for everyone to sit at it? All are welcome at your table. Is that true? There's a wonderful video for all of you who have computer connections, and if I had a way to show it to you, I would show it to you today, but I want you to go Google it when you get home. It's a song called At This Table by Idina Menzel. If you're a grandparent or a parent, you know Idina Menzel is the voice of Elsa in Frozen. You've had to listen to her sing. Well, online, she is singing a song, beautiful video, it's beautifully shot, it's beautifully written, it's beautifully danced, called At This Table, but I want to share some of the opening lyrics with you. At this table, everyone is welcome. At this table, everyone is seen. At this table, everybody matters and no one falls between. At this table, you can say whatever. At this table, you can speak your mind. At this table, everything's forgiven. There's enough for everyone. So, come as you are. Remember, the door is always open. Yes, come as you are. The perfect gift that you can bring is your heart. So come. Come as you are. And that, my friends, is the anthem, the invitation of this bright season, an invitation to do the work of Jesus, the servant, to welcome, to see, to be accepting, and to serve with intention, joy, and willingness.